Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I give a shit. I do. I really care about you. Thanks for listening today. You know what? Can I just tell you something? I'm depressed. Okay. And you know why? Cause it's cold out and it happened really quickly and I wasn't ready for it. And, I just want to share that with you so I can thank you. Okay. Thank you for listening and thank you for listening to me right now. Also, you know what else happened to me this week that I really want to tell you about? This was just this past week, right? Just last Monday. My husband, Monday night, went to this great comedy show, Chris Gethard, in like a basement in Bushwick, and all these great comedians. It was free. We had a great time. We got home at 10, and then basically all hell broke loose. My husband got a kidney stone, but we didn't know what it was. And then, you know, I was in the hospital in the emergency room till 4 in the morning. He has some fucking, I'm so upset about this, that he has a doctor in Park Slope. Like, who would have a doctor in Park Slope? So we had to go to hospital in Park Slope and stay till 4 in the morning. And then the whole thing, it wasn't over then. You don't even want to know. So I'm really, really, really aggravated. But since I got to dump that on you, we can get on with the show and hopefully be entertained, because I've got these two awesome, beautiful, fabulous, talented women that I'm looking at. And now that I've got this off my chest, I feel so much better, and we're going to lift you up. I want to explain who these women are before I introduce them. I just want you to... So here's the thing. I think this came to me because I have the travel bug lately. But I was invited to host one of the stars of one of the films from the Ecuadorian Film Festival. And I know very little about Ecuador, even though, like, I wish I could, I'm entranced by it, but I know very little about it. So, frankly, I was thrilled to have the opportunity to participate in an interview with, I'll introduce you. Her name is Christina Morrison, the actress, and we have a representative, a very bright, intelligent young lady, Andrea Tapia, from the Ecuadorian Film Festival, so we can learn a little bit about that. So we have two really exotic ladies here, and I think what we should do is start off by explaining a little bit about the Ecuadorian Film Festival. And then we're going to tell you a little bit about Christina and the film that she's... I'm going to have her explain the film she's in, but she is such a multi-talented person in so many ways that that's a much more complicated story. So what I want to do is get the first part done. Andrea, say hi.
Hello.
And Christina, say hi so we know you're here. Stop laughing. She's laughing.
Hello, everybody.
Are
What's
you guys
up?
In a good mood? I got that off my chest. I feel a lot better. Well, that was okay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're okay?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so great. I feel so much better with all this great energy in here. Everybody's so happy. I can see it. So, Andrea, where are you from originally?
I'm from Quito, the capital of Ecuador.
Really? So mm-hmm. Tell me just a little about Ecuador. Christina, you're not from Ecuador, are you?
Yes, I am.
You're from Ecuador too?
Well, I'm American Ecuadorian. So my mother's family is from Ecuador and my dad was from here, from New York.
You were born in Miami.
I was born in Miami, yes.
Okay. Have you lived... And Quito is the capital of Ecuador. See how much I'm learning here? I'm such a moron. I can't believe it. I have a high school diploma, I want you to know. They should take it back, but...
I have. I have lived.
How long have you lived in? Did you live in Quito?
Yes, in Quito.
And how long have you lived? How long did you live there? Total.
Total out of my life, like 22 years.
All right.
I've been back and forth between many places, but in all, like 20 years, all and right. with some okay. years in Galapagos as well.
Okay. So, do you, Andrea? Do you consider Christina authentic Ecuadorian? What do you think?
Yeah, of course. I don't even know if I am.
Do you guys, when you guys aren't around me or around people like me, do you speak in another language?
No, we speak in Spanish.
We speak in Spanish. Spanish, yeah.
But Ecuadorian Spanish isn't like regular Spanish. It's its own.
Well, it's an accent. Like,
an accent.
You know, like every country has their own accent. Like Peru has a different accent, Colombians, Argentinians, you know.
Yeah, right. But you guys could understand. So wouldn't you rather talk Spanish and not hear, not have people like listen? Like, I love that when you go to a foreign country and you speak another. Would you be able to communicate more clearly if you, or more precisely if you two spoke Spanish?
No, not really. Because she speaks, I mean, we both speak English very well, so we can communicate as well in English, but. In Spanish, maybe it's like the jargon, you know, like the slang maybe of like Ecuador that can like the references, you know,
okay,
can
say
be more
something.
Fun
I should
or whatever.
Shut up, because we're never going to get to what we really need to get to. But say something in Spanish, in Ecuadorian Spanish that I'm not going to get. Andrea, you go first. Come on, you can do it. Say something to Andrea that I'm not going to get.
That you're not going to get. And you don't speak Spanish at all.
I don't speak Spanish at all.
Like in Ecuador, instead of say, like, we do say what's up, you know, like what's up.
Okay, say it.
It's like, it's que más.
O que fue.
O que fue, also. O
yeah.
Que
hubo. Yeah.
You know, there's like a lot of different ways
pero,
of
por ejemplo,
saying
yo te podría decir, habla serio, loca, si cachas que estamos en la radio.
And nobody
y es como, yeah, that's like really
that's
slang.
That's true, yeah.
What'd you just say?
Habla serio is like, listen up, girl, like, really, like, you get it that we're at the radio right now?
All right. So tell us, okay, so that's what I know about Ecuador, that they have their own, whatever, that's it. There, I just learned how to speak Spanish in Ecuador. Andrea, tell us about the festival. Tell us about the festival.
Yeah, sure. So this is the fourth edition of the Ecuadorian Film Festival. We've been, you know, always trying to create the space for directors to connect with different audiences here. And so as we were discussing earlier, you know, this festival came out of a need of this Ecuadorian community to connect with Ecuador through the film and arts. So Maravilla, the organization that produces this festival, has the mission of raising awareness about Latin America through the arts and culture. Mm-hmm. So they produce the Venezuelan Film Festival, the Ecuadorian Film Festival, among other events and many other projects. So this year we've invited a lot of guests. We have many films, which I'm sure we'll discuss later. And yeah, it's continued to be this place for people to connect, mm-hmm. for new audiences to come together.
Because I really don't know anything. So tell me about the role of Ecuadorian culture in the United States or New York City or whatever. What's the role of it? It must have, I mean, you got a film festival here. It must be relevant.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I
think there's a lot of different community organizations, people involved in all different areas. I don't know if there's like a specific role of the Ecuadorian community per se, but but I've been surprised to see how much is going on culturally.
Didn't you just say it was the largest? What did you say?
Yeah, so it is, right. So we were saying that after, you know, the concentration of Ecuadorians in the largest cities in Ecuador, this is the third largest concentration.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a lot of Ecuadorian businesses, a lot of different initiatives, a lot of young people here doing many cool projects, and everything's very active. The community is very active.
And I think it's important because it's like the largest community of Ecuadorians outside of Ecuador, and then we have Spain, which is another large community. Mm-hmm. But New York has always been Queens. And I think it's interesting because a lot of these Ecuadorians have migrated here, you know, maybe 30, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to have like first, second generations of Ecuadorians, but born here, which not necessarily have close contact to the country.
Sure.
So I think it's really interesting because if we bring, you know, film here and they can have some kind of closeness to their roots, you know, like to mm-hmm. some reference of where they come from in a way mm-hmm. that, you know, that that's important, because they sometimes they don't even go to Ecuador that much or know the sure. country, and they can get to know the country through mm-hmm. the film too, which is interesting, because, you know, these first few years that we've been in the cinema world in Ecuador, which is fairly new, a lot of the stories have been around like social issues and, you know, identity and things like that. And now it's just starting to change a little bit in the stories that we tell and the genres. But I think it's really important for them, for that community here, to connect to their original mother country, let's say,
yeah,
through the film.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, and I bet Ecuador has more of a, I bet there's like influences that we all, people that live here, are influenced by Ecuadorian culture all the time that we have no idea, like the food or something. What's something that's Ecuadorian that most people might know? Is there like any kind of particular food or something?
Yeah, we have an immense variation in cuisine from different regions in the country. It variates. It's not as popular as Peruvian cuisine, which, you know, came up in the world as something very uh-huh. kind of high-end.
Really?
Ecuadorian
food's not considered...
Well, I mean, it's not as trendy as Peruvian food became.
Oh, really?
At a certain point.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know Peruvian food was trendy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it became it kind of came up in the world, and like all these chefs were doing like Peruvian high end cuisine and taking their things out in different like really nice restaurants and everything. So it became kind of world known.
Oh,
Peruvian
really?
Food.
I did not know that.
Yeah, this, you know, like 15 years or so.
So they got good PR. They got on that.
Yeah.
They got on
that. But Ecuador, I mean, we're very rich in food, from like the coast to the Andes.
So is there any restaurant in New York that's a particularly Queens, Brooklyn,
yeah.
Queens? Where should I tell people?
There's
to go?
A lot of restaurants in Queens, actually.
Anyone in particular, or just any restaurant? Just look it up.
There's some Ecuadorian.
There's some really good
And there's
ones
a couple in Manhattan as well, but mm-hmm. most of them are in Queens.
Queens. Good Ecuadorian food yeah. in Queens. I'm putting that on my list. Andrea, will you do me a favor and just tell us like the dates of the festival and where people can go and the website and all that, so that we can move on to the particular film and still make sure that people know about the festival? Because
sure.
the films, there's like 20 films. I looked, folks, and the films look really, really, really interesting. They have a cultural bent, but there's still a lot of really basic human stories and human insights, and the people are all good looking in their films, so I think
yeah.
you should go. So tell us the details
right.
of the festival.
So before I forget, there is a great Ecuadorian restaurant that we were actually discussing earlier. It's called 50. So it's in
How
Manhattan.
How do you spell that?
50. Like
50.
Yeah, the word 50.
Oh, yeah.
No,
where
it's
is
just
it?
The word.
Oh, it's the word. Okay.
It's in Lower Manhattan. We were actually talking about it, and I'm not quite sure about the exact address, but you can
it's
look
like
it up.
In the East Village or the Lower East Side.
Yeah, yeah, it's more in the Lower East Side, and it's very like creative.
It's more
very
like
tasty.
An author, like a author cuisine.
Yeah,
kind of
and the chef is Ecuadorian, and he uh-huh. loves to talk to people, you know, about the food and where it comes from.
See,
and so I highly, highly recommend that.
So that's a good cultural experience
right.
that's
yes,
available.
Keep it in mind.
After the film, listen, guys, you're gonna take the check out. That sounds like a really like smart way to get,
get
anyway.
It on.
Yeah.
Well, whatever you're looking for, let's put it that way. Getting good with your date. That's all. That's all. Okay. So the details of the festival.
Right. So the festival goes from the 25th of October, so next Thursday, till the 4th of November. So we'll be screening in three different locations in Manhattan at the Teatro Sea, and a syndicated bar and kitchen table at Brooklyn.
It's
and
only two blocks away from here, L Train
very
and Morgan.
Close. Yeah, very, very close. Mm-hmm. And the Queens Museum is the last one.
And those are Queens. Free. There's free.
And the cinema
some of those are free.
Right. So that one is just on the inauguration day. We have another venue, but then the other ones will be the ones that remain consistent.
And it's Ecuadorian Film Fest?
In New York.
Mm-hmm. No.
The website is www.efny, EFFNY, Ecuadorianfilmfestival.org.
Really?
Yeah, because it's Ecuadorian Film Festival in New York.
Huh. All right. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I wrote down the wrong thing, but you know more about this than I do.
Yeah.
I feel like so provincial. Like I haven't, like, well, I was in Texas. Does that count? Texas a few months ago. I've been on a plane in the last couple of months. Okay. Does that count for anything?
These people
are all so well traveled. Anyways, let's get to Christina, who is our star guest of the film that we want to talk about specifically, which is called, it's called Black Hole in English. But what is the name of it? Christina, you tell us about the film.
So it's called Agujero Negro, which translated to English is literally black hole. And this refers to kind of the situation where the main character falls into in a kind of an existential crisis of not being able to mature to the fact that he will be a father soon. And also it's kind of like that place where you brew and you get inspired and he's a writer. So he's kind of caught up in this thing of being like 5 years without writing a novel that he's been thinking about.
Writer's block.
So, like a writer's block, exactly. So he decides to write this next hit. And he finds out that my daughter, that, you know.
And your daughter in the film.
My daughter in the film.
You play the mother-in-law to this guy, right?
Right,
they're
exactly.
Married couple, right? Young,
exactly.
Young, very attractive married couple, and you're the mother-in-law.
Right, I'm the mother-in-law,
Barely old enough, barely.
So they get married. He finds out that she's pregnant, and he kind of goes into a black hole. Like, he can't really face this. And so he starts having like a crush on a neighbor, like a very young,
pretty
girl,
16-year-old girl.
Exactly.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
My husband would have had a crush on her too, I'm sure.
So then that's when, you know, hell breaks loose and the conflict starts. And then, and then the movie goes on from there. And I'm playing the mother-in-law, which is kind of a nagging, you know, kind of concerned mother.
Intrusive.
Intrusive, yes, exactly.
Obnoxious, maybe?
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to picture you being obnoxious, and it is entertainment, so it's not, can't be too visceral, but, so that's a funny role. How did it feel? Do you have children?
I do. I have two boys, big boys.
And are they in that age group of the, so
no,
did it
they're
feel
younger.
Familiar
so,
in
so,
any way?
Yeah. I mean, my boys are 23 and 18, but it did feel, it felt familiar because I kind of based my character on my mother.
Who is very intrusive.
Which she was very intrusive. And so it was kind of like overwhelming, you know, to have, and it's overwhelming and it's kind of annoying, but at the end, you know, you know that they're doing it for love because like they just want the best for you, but it gets to be very, you know, very tiring too, to have like this person all the time, you know, not letting you kind of live whatever you have to live or do, you know?
Right.
But yeah, it was familiar to me.
No. I mean, you know, we all know that type of mother-in-law. I'm actually a mother-in-law now. A new mother-in-law, and just the name, just that title, mother-in-law, just sounds like it's got such a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this type, and some mother-in-laws are like them, some aren't. Did your boys see the film?
They haven't, actually. They're coming with me next week.
Oh, what do you think they'll say when they see you in that role?
Well, you know, they're funny because they can never take me seriously. They're always like, Mom, it's you. Like, every time I see you in the theater or like doing a film, they just can't, like, I think it's just like I'm too close to them to like see me as an actor, like on the screen or and they just like laugh, and I'm like, dude, it's like really, like, please. And they're like, Mom, they're funny.
Oh, so they laugh at you when they see you acting because they know you're acting. You can't fool them. They're
funny.
Like, there's Mom acting like she's being all, like, tough and everything.
It's too close to home to them, you know?
Well, I bet they're really going to crack
up.
But they're
going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
They will enjoy it.
It does look like a really genuinely entertaining film, I have to say. I mean, I love the concept, and I saw the trailer, which is posted on my Facebook page, folks.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, all that stuff. So
That's
go
great.
To my Facebook page and find find out about it and go to the film. It's playing a couple of times.
Yeah, right? We're doing October 25th at the Village East Cinemas.
Yeah, good theater.
And then we're doing November 3rd in Queens at the Queens Museum. And then November 4th at the Syndicated. We're actually closing, we're closing night for the film festival. Oh. It's closing with the film.
Yeah, and out here
in Brooklyn.
In Syndicated?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
See if I can get to that.
You should.
Get some real Ecuadorian, see some Ecuadorian culture up close.
You should.
So anyway, here's it, folks. Not you ladies. I'm talking to them, these people, who I always imagine like in their basements watching, you know, on the internet or something. Are you guys on one of those, you know, I picture that sometimes like so many of my listeners are listening to me while they're on like one of those, what do they call them? Role, you know, where the games, multiple player games, you know, like, I don't know, World of Warcraft or that kind of thing. I hope not. But I want to tell you a little bit about Christina because she is like, she's not just an actress, okay? She's a jazz singer too. She's extremely accomplished in both areas, which is crazy. Ugh, how do you do it? How do you do it? Her first love was piano, and then she grew up discovering performing arts, which is her passion. Acting debut. I'm just going to go through this quick because it's not. I'll just read you the highlight words. Acting debut, age of 16, singing cover band. She lived between Miami and Quito.
Quito.
Finishing high school, moved with her mother to Rome and attended drama school there. She learned fluent Italian, and her first encounter was with playwrights like American playwrights. Tennessee Williams and Arthur Miller. There's jazz, Chick Corea, Keith Jarrett. She's like, there's a lot going on here. I'm supposed to get all this crap in like less than an hour. I'm not going to do that, but I will do my best. So anyway, you're working on an album now, yes. Right? That seems like your baby. Is that kind of like your baby right now?
Yes, every album is a baby, like every film is a baby. This is my third album, and it's my first Spanish album.
Oh, you sing all in Spanish? Yes,
I'm doing, and it's my first album that's on standards, so like classic music. Because the other ones have been original music, which I write the lyrics and work with composers. But this one, I wanted to do a standards album, and we're doing it on the Latin American songbook.
Oh, wow.
So it's really fun because it's like all the old songs that we used to listen when we were kids. You know, like our parents used to listen to them, our grandparents. And they're like the classics, which are gorgeous from different countries. And we're just bringing them to a more modern version with some jazz in it. And it's an all duet women album.
Oh, so, that's cool. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, so I have a lot of beautiful women singers on it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's sounding beautifully.
Oh, that must have been a great process making that, right?
Yes, very long. I mean, we started you know, rehearsing and doing the arrangements back in September, October of last year. Mm-hmm. And we started recording in January, and now we're mixing, and I'm going to release it in March.
Wow.
So, it's going to be more than a year.
You're on it. Andrea, do you know these songs?
Well, a few. We're actually playing some of those in the car when we were coming
up here. Do you recognize them from your childhood?
Well,
I guess
mucho,
not.
Por ejemplo.
There are a few that I do recognize for sure. And it's like more modern
versions
of them. So,
and pasillos too.
Did it make you homesick?
Well,
A little bit.
Yeah. But they make me very happy.
You're involved in this awesome festival, so who cares? Do you have family in Ecuador still?
No, they're in Spain. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, man. They're not even there.
Not even there.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. Before we get into more of a conversation with Christina, I want to play you one of her songs so that you can see, like, this person's not just like got a big role in the movie, they're also like they can also sing. This is crazy. Okay. Here we go.
words can comfort me. Why cast your spell in every trail that leads you to another girl? Look into my eyes, dare to tell me that we're not meant to be in state of love and stand still. Wait until the sound of the warm thrill that gently wakes you up and stand still. 'Cause it's our loving sin and it's meant to be naturally, eternally to stand still. And wait until the sign from the moon and stars. Are you playing with my heart? How many different words can come? We're not meant to be in state of love and stand still. Wait until the sound of the warm thrill that gently wakes you up and stand still. 'Cause it's our loving sin and it's meant to be naturally, eternally to stand still. And wait until the sign from the moon.
Gorgeous.
Oh man. I love that song. Oh,
me too. Took my breath away.
Oh, thank you. I
really moved.
It's I don't hear it that often, and like when you get to hear your songs like after a while and you're like, wow, I did that.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty good.
That's from
my first album.
Oh,
from
my
love.
God, really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Just beautiful. Just beautiful.
Thank you.
And I love the singing is great, and I love the music and how the instrumental and the voice. Uh-huh. Oh my God, that's gorgeous.
Thank you.
And you know what, folks? You guys out there, I want to thank you for listening and remind you you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You are, which is so great. And you're listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, which is on every Thursday, 2 to 3, and a rebroadcast every Friday, 8 a.m., because you're probably still in bed by then. But you could get up and listen to it. It would be good for you to get up early once in a while. But anyway, so thanks for listening, seriously. And you know what? You don't have to be alone at all anymore, because Radio Free Brooklyn has programming 24/7, and we have the most amazing variety and inclusive variety of programming, and you can actually really open up your life. You can make your world a little bigger if you download our app and just have it on your phone. And then you're like, I don't feel like listening to this crappy album anymore, or that podcast has gotten dry. What's going on at Radio Free Brooklyn today? So just go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone if you've got an iPhone, or .org/Android if you've got an Android. And, you know, think about us. We're all hanging out for you. We're making your life. We're going to help you. We're going to make your life bigger. We've got all kinds of music and talk and comedy and the whole world out there. Anyway, so that was awesome, Christina. So you've had, like, from what it's, you lived in, okay, here's, we want to talk, we're going to talk about you, Christina.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Have you done this before yet?
Yes.
Do you know the topic? Are
all
you familiar with the topic?
Okay, probably about my life, about my work, about this, about that. If I like being more an actress, more a singer, and all these things.
Okay. Well, anyway, so here's what I find personally fascinating. So since it's my show, that's what we're going to talk about. What I'm interested in about you. And so you've lived in between Latin America and United States. You said you spent over 20 years in Ecuador. I asked you that just to be sure that you were authentic. She is. And then you have lived also in Quito. That's Ecuador. I'm still not saying that right, right?
Yeah, you said it right.
I did? Quito? Yeah. Miami, Rome, Los Angeles, the Galapagos Islands, and you've had a gypsy life experience. So I want to hear about that, but I had asked you earlier if you would be comfortable. So this would give us a really quick insight, maybe traumatize you. I don't know. I hope not. I don't mean to. If you would tell us one traumatic childhood event, something I often ask my guests. So do you want to share one?
Yeah, actually, I deal with it every day.
Oh,
because,
yeah?
Well, not every day, but it's very much in my life. And I think it has to do with a traumatic event in my childhood. Mm-hmm. And that is that, I was like 11 or 10 or whatever. And I lived in Miami and I was with my cousins. And one of my eldest cousins was very close to me. He's like, let's play. And I'm like, okay, what's up? And he's like, okay, get in the trunk of the car. And then... like, you get me in the trunk of the car, then I'll get you in the trunk of the car, and then, like, you know, that's it. So
that's smart.
Right? So I put him in the back of the trunk, and I was super, like, nice and whatever. So I closed the trunk, and, like, right after, like, 2 seconds, I open it up, and he comes out. He gets me in the trunk, and he freaking turns on the car, and he drives me around the block, like, a long block inside the trunk. And I was, like, just freaking out. And
oh my God.
I could not believe it.
Oh,
it was
my
horrible.
God.
It was horrible. Wow. I felt like those mafia movies, you know, like the dead body inside the trunk.
Wow. And you were 11?
How old was he? 10, 11. He's like 6 years older than me or 5 years older than me.
Could he drive? Did he have drivers?
So,
he wasn't stealing the car.
Right. So he could drive. So he must
but
have been 16 or 17.
Right?
He totally tricked me.
What an asshole. Your cousin? What an asshole.
Yeah. He was laughing his head off and everything. And of course, like, I came back and I was like super, you know, I was mad and like I was screaming and whatever.
What happened? So you were in the car and were you just like freaking out? Were you scared? Was it, did
yeah,
it
I was
hurt?
Scared.
Was it,
no,
what,
no, no,
what,
no,
what
I
did
was
you
scared.
Feel like?
Well,
what did it feel like?
Well, it felt, it, I was scared. It was dark. And then like, I didn't know when he was going to stop, like how far he was going to go and I couldn't get out. So now I suffer from claustrophobia. Like, I can't get into the metro.
Really?
Like, yeah, no, like I went on, you know, on the subway for a few years, but then I started to get panic attacks because when they stop between, you know, stops
and you're in the river
or whatever, and it stops and you can't get out.
Wow.
And I started to like get really freaked out about that. So I don't take subways anymore because I get very nervous.
Wow.
I got super like, you know, like elevators. Like sometimes when they're old elevators and like old ass buildings, like, I'd rather take the stairs. Like, I don't go in alone.
And you didn't have claustrophobia before that?
No.
Did you tell anybody about what happened, what he did to you? Did you tell on him?
I don't remember. I don't remember if I did.
Well, I'm going to call your mother. I'm going to call his mother. I'm mad at him. Have you guys talked about it since?
Yeah, I think so.
Laugh.
Yeah.
Did he turn out okay?
But
He turned out okay. Oh, that was just like an aberration, like
no,
a bad.
No, it was just a teenage game of
he
you know
like
whatever.
A lot of fun, actually.
It was a teenage game. I mean, I don't think it was done with any
malicious.
No.
He didn't mean to traumatize you.
He did not, but he. I think I think he did.
Yeah, you know, so cognitive therapy is the way to get out of that if you ever want to work on that. Don't go to a real therapist. Don't go to like a Freud-type psychoanalyst. Go to cognitive therapy. But it sounds like it's okay, except you can't take the subway, which can be inconvenient.
Yeah, like I get into, like, when we travel and we have to go, like, into dungeons or, like, you know, like, under, you know, subterranean places, you know, and things like that. And I don't know where the exit is going to be, and it gets dark and I feel like I don't have a way out. It really, like, I don't like it. Like in the tunnel, like if I'm stuck inside Lincoln Tunnel or whatever, and I'm not with people, like my head starts, like I have to, like, really, like, take a breath and like, you know, like, take it easy.
Well, it sounds like you're aware of it, so you got a handle on it. I'm sorry that happened. Although I wish I'd seen it somehow. So how did you wind up traveling so much? So what did your parents do?
It wasn't because of my mother's. No, not because of a certain particular job. But I think it was more like the connection with Miami because my dad lived there. He was from New York originally, but he moved to Miami when he was very young. So he met my mother in Miami, and that's why I was born there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Latin America is, in general, is very close to Miami. They say that Miami is like the Latin American capital.
Oh, yeah, right. I guess it, yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of, you know, very normal, or not normal, but, you know, thing to do to,
so
you know,
your
Latin Americans
to
be in Miami.
So your parents split up, I'm assuming, then, right?
Yes, they did.
And how old were you?
I was very young. And then I went to
Quito. 3 years old?
Yeah, something like that, a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to Quito with my mom, and then I lived there until I was 8, and then I went back to Miami, and I lived there until I was 12.
How did you wind up going back to Miami? Was that your choice?
Not mine. I mean, does a kid at 7 years old have a choice? No.
Well, you know, could be.
No, could be.
I don't know.
No.
But you're a pretty remarkable adult. I can see it.
Yeah, mommy, you want to go to Miami?
No. So what happened? Your parents, your parents decided it would be better for you to live in Miami.
So we went back to Miami for some time.
So you went with your mom.
With my
back.
Mom. I always lived with my mom. I always lived with my mom.
So yeah. Your mom decided it'd be better to go back to Miami. How was that? Were you like, I don't want to go back? Were you traumatized by that?
No, not at all. Did you like it better? It was different. Like, you know, it was different than Quito. I did like it very much. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that, you know, I was there from like fourth grade to seventh grade, and I made a lot of friends, and it was just very fun and
nice time.
You know, like, you had like normal life between boys and girls, and we did a lot of sports, and I used to play a lot of tennis back then, and, you know, swim and everything. And more so, it was traumatizing to go back to Ecuador at 12 because it's a very it's a very strange age to, you know, to go and like adapt to not a new place, but, you know, kind of a teenage age is very hard.
So you moved back to Miami. Then when you were 12, your mom decided that you should go back to Ecuador?
Yeah, because my grandfather passed away. And so we had to take care of the family business. It was like going back to, you know, taking care of. Yeah, so we had to go back. So it was like from one day to the next. I just like didn't say bye to my friends or anything. It was like, we're going and we're leaving and that's it. And we just went.
That was
kind of traumatizing.
Was that decision happened suddenly?
Yes, because he had a car accident. So it was
horrible. Oh, God. So were you an only child?
I am.
So it's just you and your mom going back there? You didn't have another kid to like talk to?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that must have been awful.
Yeah, I did. I didn't feel very lonely while I was a teenager. And I think that it was very hard to adapt to Ecuador because the mentality is very different. And I came from more of an American,
freedom. A lot more and just freedom, like, open society.
Open-minded and just like, and over there.
American TV, McDonald's, all that crap.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was hard to adapt at the beginning to the society, you know.
Discipline, though, I'll bet you. Probably in the long run, I bet, like, I imagine.
No, I would say conservative.
Conservative, but conservative disciplined. I'm thinking disciplined. You're saying conservative, but I wonder.
You mean in Ecuador?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, you know, Catholic religion is very heavy on them.
undisciplined.
So you know, it's a lot of like, yeah, mm-hmm. it runs through that too. You know, like you can't do this and you can't do that, and that is wrong and this
so,
is good.
So how was that for you? Did you rebel or did you just go along?
Oh, I was very rebellious. I was very anti-establishment. Mm-hmm. I was very ahead of usually of what they were doing there. Like, you know, I was kind of a forefront woman. Mm-hmm. Always like being an artist.
Personality.
And,
yeah.
You know, I was pregnant. I did not get married.
Really?
So
how
it was
old
like
were you when you were
scandal.
Pregnant? In high school?
No, I was 25.
Oh, that's a normal age.
Yeah, but not pregnant. To get married in a society like Ecuador was a big deal back then.
So did you have the baby on your own?
I did.
So you were 25, but you were, so you mean, did you go to, you went to college in Italy?
So I went to drama school in Rome first, and then I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in Los Angeles.
Right.
I graduated from the academy, and then after that, I went back to Ecuador, and then I stayed there for, you know, for some time, and that's when I had my first son, Alex.
Why did you decide to go back to Ecuador after that?
Well, it was just kind of like going back to Quito for a while and getting a little bit of experience in the professional world. And, you know, my idea was to go back to LA after like having a demo. And a lot of people were like, oh, she's back. She graduated. And there were like things going on in TV.
Because you already had a lot of foundation there. And
yeah.
Maybe you'd started your career already.
I started when I was like 15, 16
yeah,
before studying.
So you had
studying.
A career and then you were going back to pick up. To expand on that.
Right, exactly. So I just wanted to be there for a while and hang out, you know, and mm-hmm. then I had Alex, my mm-hmm. first son, Alejandro. And so I ended up staying there more than I was thinking
right.
of because, you know, my life changed.
Of course.
So I stayed there for a while. But so it was, you know, it's big, mm-hmm. yeah, I was
and
very
you have
rebellious.
Two sons,
not anymore.
Two sons now.
Yes.
And have you been married?
I have.
Are you married now?
No, I'm not.
But
I'm
you
not.
Have been married. Were you married to the second kid's dad?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Oh.
He was, he's
so you
Spanish.
Gave it a shot. You gave it a shot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I believe in love.
Obviously, from
yeah,
the music.
Yeah, totally. And and with him, I lived in Galapagos.
So how did that happen? I mean, how did you wind up living in Galapagos? What's that like?
It's amazing. It's my soul place, as I call it. It's mm-hmm. like an amazing place where there's an incredible energy, and it just, you know, it welcomes you or it spits you out. It's
what
very
that?
Radical.
Mm-hmm. And now, why is that?
I don't know. And I think it has to do a lot with energy, like what you bind with. And if you can live there, then it's kind of like the islands accept you and you fall in love, and it's like very passionate. And some people are not welcome there. It's like, you know, they just like
what's it like? Like, what's the challenge? Because I'm going to go there now. Now, I just got a plane ticket while we were on the phone. While we were on the air. I just on my phone. I got a plane ticket.
That's
so I'm
awesome.
Going there. Yeah, leaving Monday. So what? Kidding. I'm kidding. You idiot. That's you. That's you. That person going, is she kidding or not? I'm talking to you. I'm kidding. So anyway, what's difficult or why? I mean, there's a lot of things that are obvious why it's great. The nature and probably mm-hmm. is it pretty pure? Or,
yes. And it's very raw.
Very raw. So mm-hmm. what's difficult about it?
Well, I mean, when I went to live there, which was in 98, I went there originally in 94 to shoot a docudrama. And mm-hmm. I played a really cool character, which was a historical character called the Baroness.
Mm-hmm.
After that, like, that's my nickname. And mm-hmm. you know, it's a very interesting story, which is for another time. But that's how I got there the first time mm-hmm. to
it's
shoot.
It's a science fiction movie. I saw it on your IMDb page. So it looks interesting, guys.
It's actually
it was shot there.
Yeah, but no, that's a new one that they want to do. But the one I did 20 years ago, it's based on these characters from Germany that arrived in Floriana in the 30s, escaping Nazi Germany. And so it's a very interesting story. So I played one of the characters. But 25 years ago, you know, the islands are far away. They're very dry. There's not a lot of water.
They're islands.
Yeah.
Salt water.
No, but I mean, like, you know, like
drinking water.
Sweet water. Yeah. Like, ¿cómo se llama?
Well, yeah, drinking water.
Yeah, drinking water.
Water.
Because, you know, it doesn't rain that much. And uh-huh. so, It's logistically they're hard to be there. We used to have only like 3 flights a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have, you know, everything that comes in from the continent. You didn't have like that much food, you know, like to live there, you have to be kind of adventurous, you know, because it's not like a normal place where you can go to the market and get whatever you want. We didn't have a phone, like to, you know, to be able to call to the continent, to Quito.
Do you have a
phone? It took us like, talking about when I just got
there. Yeah, when you moved there.
There was no internet, you know, I mean, it was kind of a very isolated, life.
So you moved there with your first son, your husband, and a baby.
Exactly.
That's horrible.
Well, actually, my husband, I met him there.
Oh.
I met him there in one of my trips. So we fell in love, and then I married him, and then I moved there.
Oh, I see. So, like, for example, if you wanted to take a shower or something like that, was it complicated?
No, but you do have to be very mindful of the resources, you know, because you have like the tank, the truck tank that comes and leaves you the water, your water well, you know what I mean? Or like the systems are just not like.
So water is a finite. We don't think of it as finite, but it was definitely finite there.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about like the house?
Electricity used to go out at 12 at night, mm-hmm. and we wouldn't have electricity until 6 in the morning. So we lived with candlelight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of houses did not have hot water. It was kind of a Robinson Crusoe kind of thing. You know, like mm-hmm. I mean, it was very like you have to have that spirit. You know,
sort of like camping.
Yeah, kind
of camping. Like, does it get cold there?
No, not much.
Okay, well,
chilly, but not cold.
As long as I'm not cold, I'm mm-hmm. fine there.
Yeah.
What's it like if I go there now? When I get there on Monday, the hotel, are they going to have water and everything? Is it going to be okay?
Yes. It's changed very much. I mean, still the government and the national park do a lot of effort to keep it as pristine and, you know, low impact as possible mm-hmm. from the foreign world. But it's very hard because we have a lot of issues. Social issues and, you know, introduction of species and things like that. But it's grown in population because we live off tourism. So a lot of people have migrated from the continent to work in tourism. Mm-hmm. There's much more services. So there's like nicer restaurants or better. It's better food. Now we have electricity all day long.
That's a novelty.
So it's grown. It's grown. Mm-hmm. Definitely it's grown. But Isabela, for example, which is the island where I live now. I mean, I have my home there. Mm-hmm. It's also my house. Is more of a relaxed, laid back. Only 2,000 people live there.
Wow.
Sand streets. Like it's still very
nice.
You know, the far west of the archipelago. Let's
nice.
Say. So it still has a lot of magic. I mean, it's mm-hmm. really beautiful.
Do you know everybody on the island?
Yes, basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is it like I imagine it with like, you know, birds and turtles and mm-hmm. all sorts of animals? Is
yes,
it like
definitely.
That? Like
yeah.
What kind of animals?
Yeah, you live with the iguanas, with the marine iguanas. There's a lot of sea lions. You have tons of birds, all kinds of mm-hmm. birds, rays in the water, sharks, you know.
That's
everything,
dangerous.
Everything, seahorses. It's just pure nature, like to
wow.
the vein. It's incredible. It's,
wow.
It's so magical.
Wow. I'm so excited about my trip on Monday.
Turtles,
now.
Sea turtles.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow. That must be incredible.
It
does it give you a different perspective on like where our planet is right now?
As far as like contamination and pollution and all that? Or?
Yeah.
Well, I do think it's one of the last paradises on Earth, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very hard to stop what's happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's just I think everything's going to hell anyway. and I've traveled a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I always want to travel to like beach places or, you know, like coastal zones. I still like go back and like say Galapagos. I mean, there's nothing like Galapagos.
You know, I think that, I don't know. I think that the problem, not to get off the top, but not to digress too much, but I think that one of our problems that doesn't go discussed enough is just a simple fact of the population. I mean, population has grown enormously.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's taxing the planet and you can do, I mean, we should all do more and we should all care more
yeah.
and all that. It's important. But I think no matter what, it's just that we've got too many fucking people, and that's a reality. And I don't know what, you know, and it's really hard on the planet, and I don't know how you get around that. I think some of that is, you know, just too many people that we don't talk about that, because then you're like, well, which people?
Yeah, of course.
What do you think about that?
I see it more as a evolution kind of like scientific kind of perspective. I believe that the Earth has been around for 4.6 billion years, and it just has cycles. You know, it has cycles, and it the ice age, and then we have, you know, great weather again, and then, you know, the continents, you know, break apart, and then they come back, and it's just a cycle of life. And I think that we are part of that as humans and as you know, Homo sapiens. I think we're just part of that chain of animals, and we're on top of the chain, and we do terrible things. But I think it's just part of what the Earth is, and the Earth will continue without us. And
yeah, I agree, because I think what I think is going to happen is the end of humanity is not going to be the end of the world, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think so too. I mean, probably.
The end of humanity.
The Earth is suffering, and it'll probably be, you know, it's very ill, but at a certain point, it'll start to like recover, and then, you know, it'll keep living. You know,
well, I think
I see it more like that. I mean, I'm not to say that, of course, you have to be mindful of like how much light you use and like where you throw your plastics, and you know, if you're going to use straws or not. Obviously, you have to, you know, give a little grain of, do your part in whatever you can be aware, obviously. But I think it's a far greater, you know, thing than just you. You know what I mean? You make part of that and you can help. But I think it's a larger picture.
Yeah, I guess we're sort of saying the same thing in that, you know, it's just because of nature. Progress, our species is dominating, and there's just more and more and more of us. And so actually what's starting to happen is like nature is sort of taking us out in large quantities, sadly.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's a hard time to be a human, but I agree with you. It's not necessarily, I don't think, the planet's probably going to be fine. It's just us. We as humans think that if we're not humans on the planet, that there's no planet.
Yeah,
but
right.
There's a planet, but, and then there's humans.
Yeah, that's very egotistical, right?
Mm-hmm. We're idiots. Yeah. What can I say? We have 5 minutes left, so I wish we had like another hour and 5 minutes left, because I feel like we're just scratching the surface here. But I want to make sure to get another song in. You have to hand me your phone with the song on it
of course.
I can play it.
Awesome.
And I want people to stick around and listen to Lost and Rewound right after this, which is an amazing show. Hilarious, smart, funny, good music. It mixed in with stories by Elan Danziger and Jimmy Hoffman. And then we are going to have my new friend, Andrea, then again, tell us again about the festival. And I'm just going to say thank you. I'm going to shut up, because I'm just going to say thanks so much for listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit in Radio Free Brooklyn. I really enjoyed this hour today, and I'm glad that you were able to hang out with us, whatever time you're listening to this. Thanks for listening. And Andrea, tell us again about the festival.
Well, you're all invited to join us. This is the fourth edition of the Ecuadorian Film Festival. We'll be screening a lot of documentaries, feature films coming all the way from Ecuador. So we'll be happy to have you. We have three different venues, one in Manhattan, another one in Queens, and another one in Brooklyn. The festival is going from the 25th of October to the 4th of November. And you can check out all the information on www.effny.org.
Okay, you want to introduce the song?
Yeah, sure. It's called Mi Amargo Placer. I wrote it for Chavela Vargas, which is a huge Mexican singer. It's in Spanish, and I hope you love it. And I'll be also performing at Guadalupe Inn on November 20th, if anybody wants to catch me. I'll be doing some music from all my albums and a little preview of the new one.
Oh, great. And where can people go to hear your music and all that stuff?
My website, ChristinaMorrison.com, but it's on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, everywhere.
Okay. And you can always check my Facebook page, kids. Yeah. All right, here we go.
Yeah, we're on Facebook, Instagram, everywhere. So thank you, November 20th, Guadalupe Inn. And I hope you love the song.
Amargo placer.